Live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, spread the word, tell the tale, donate liberally, would you please? This is the broadcast for June 19th in the year of our Lord 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. 6 days a week, we're on task. The seventh, we rest, as the good Lord asks us to do. The Sabbath day is a sign, ladies and gentlemen, between God's people and the Almighty, a sign that he set up that we subscribe to with our agency by choice and glad to do so. We testify he lives. He loves us. And he is the author of our liberty. Make no mistake about that reality check. And no matter what you do in the sacred cause of liberty, it's important to turn to God Almighty, to repent. And when we do, he will heal our land and protect us. The FBI can't win. The bureaucrats in the swamp can't win. Rogue agents and media can't win. They can win a few little skirmishes here and there. It's kind of like George Washington's battle. He lost more than he won if you look at it on a skirmish basis. But if you look at the war, we win. That is the great news for those who say, as for me and my house, I will choose the Lord. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Our two-hour special guest today, Mr. Steve Castle. I should say Pastor Steve Castle. Patriot Steve Castle. Elected official of Stevenson County, Illinois, Republican Central Committee, Steve Castle. BelovedChurchIllinois.com, SteveCastle.com, his websites. And he's the first pastor in the nation to file a federal lawsuit on First Amendment violations during the lockdowns. The governor out of control. Steve went to court. The story starts now. Hi, Steve.
Man, Sam, you could after that, I am ready to preach. You got it going on. That introduction, not for me, but I'm saying the segue that you did for Christianity and for liberty. Man, I am. You got me wired up. This is awesome.
Buddy, we try to throw down for Jesus every day on the radio the best we can. This is a nationally syndicated, worldwide, in a way, secular talk show because we're not a Christian ministry. We're not nonprofit. We're none of those things. But we do understand that it's God, family, and country that matters. Otherwise, there's no value in government at all, Steve.
No, yeah. Government was created by God. As our founding father said, it was instituted among men. It wasn't created by men. It was created by God. Government is created by God. That's why Romans 13 says that we're supposed to honor the folks that are in our government, or honor the positions of government. But there is a balance. God, obviously, everything that God made, he made good. And so his intentions was for human government to be made good. And obviously, as we know, the swamp is deep and wide, and it goes all over the world. It's not just in America. And so our Father in heaven, who created government, would love for us to take our government here in America, the only nation ever formed for the free worship of Jesus Christ, ever. The first document that was available to any person that would call themselves a quote unquote American was when that.
Yes, I am. All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if I got disconnected for a second there or if Steve did, but we are live. We are on your radio. We're talking to Steve. Steve is the first pastor in the nation to file a federal lawsuit regarding the First Amendment. We have the right to stay open as a church and worship. All right? The government can't deny the free exercise of our religion. The government can't make a specific government-instituted religion, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll get Steve back. We lost him, I guess. We'll get back and talk to Steve here in just a second. In the meantime, we talked last hour about who is John Galt, who is Ray Epps. We're talking about provocateurs. Steve was at the Capitol. 1-6, Steve was there, and he's telling you that provocateurs were there. Government bureaucrats knew they were there and allowed them to run around and engage and activate and incite freely. Steve tried to stop them, as did many other witnesses we've had on the radio. Steve went home peacefully. He went there. He prayed. He did what he came to do. A peaceful encouragement to stand up and dig into election fraud. It was all peaceful. He did not get arrested while he was there. It was all great. He went home. The FBI came to his house and literally tried to ask him a bunch of questions. Tell your story. Steve had already told his story in a 45-minute video online. Steve had already told the tip, but they came nevertheless to his house and they asked him a bunch of questions. He finally got an attorney and said, look, stop. Don't come bug me anymore. Talk to my attorney. And good for Steve. And I highlight that because that's what you need to do, ladies and gentlemen. If they start to try to entrap you, get an attorney that will respond wisely on your behalf. And you would say, well, I've done nothing wrong, Sam. I can talk freely. No, you can't. Because what they will do is they will talk, get you to talk for hours. And they will get little phrases that you say and take them out of context. And they will betray you with those comments. So Steve wisely got an attorney and told him to bug out, back off, get away. Great news. By the way, Steve, just so you know, he says, I'm in passionate love with my bride of 26 years, my family, and the authentic remnant church. I'm a patriot, and I'll do whatever's necessary to protect our country from all enemies, foreign and domestic, in great love and powerful grace. That's how he emailed me, ladies and gentlemen. Steve is a patriot pastor, telling the tale of liberty. He's really reminds me of the Black Robe Red Ribbon of yesteryear kind of a guy. But anyway, Steve, we're sorry we lost you. We're glad we got you back. So I want to talk about this. We talked about the Capitol riot last hour. This hour, I want to talk about how you won. So you're kicking back. The cocoa hits everybody like a very strange wave. The government in Illinois says no church, right?
Yes, sir. I honestly had been preaching and preparing our people for many, many months before that. That there was some ominous opportunities that some evil people under the direction of the Kingdom of Darkness were going to try to do in our nation, and obviously to the church. And to make this clear, this war that we're in right now, this silent war, this invisible enemy or whatever, you know, a lot of different people have different language about this. But let me be absolutely clear so everybody understands this. This is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness. Now, there's different players, obviously. You can put the cabal in there. You can put the Luciferians. You can put the child traffickers. You can put the drug trafficker. You can put anybody in the bad side that you want to put them in. But this is the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of God. That is what this boils down to. And because I had been preparing myself and our people that something was coming, I didn't know exactly what, when this showed up, it made perfect sense. And so I actually, like, very first Sunday when this thing came down, I was preaching. In fact, if anybody reaches out to me on my website, which is stevecassell.com, C-A-S-S-E-L-L, I will send you the 9 messages that I preached from day one that I call the pandemic response. And I made it very clear, like, this is about the church. This was about shutting down the church. The enemy knows what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, that he said that on the revelation of him being the Messiah, him being the Christ, him being the Son of God, that he would build his church. And the word church is the word ecclesia or ecclesia. And what it literally made, Jesus literally used a Greco-Roman term, which was unique because obviously he was Hebrew and he was a part of Judaism. So why didn't he use the word synagogo, speaking to the synagogue system that they already had? It was everywhere in Judaism. It was, you know, fairly productive and successful, why didn't he use the word temple? Because he was not building the old style system. He was building something that was unique and new. And so he used a Greco-Roman term, which is ecclesia. And ecclesia from Roman society meant they would take a young, influential, intelligent, and capable men, and they would bring them out of society, and they would gather them together, and those men would work through the problems, and they would create solutions. What we would the parallel to that would be like a city council or a county board meeting or something like it would be the county board members. That would be the word that Jesus used. And so ecclesia is the called out ones who gather to solve problems and create legislation and solution. That's the word that Jesus used. And that is not what the church has been doing. If the church ever did that, the days of the kingdom of darkness are done. That's why Jesus said, if my people do that, if they do this ecclesia thing, the gates of hell will not prevail. And so obviously anybody can look around our nation and see the prevailing of the gates of hell. So it is time for us to get this back to right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Castle, our special guest, hard-hitting talk, always at your fingertips. This will be archived and available 24/7 at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Tell your neighbor.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. We're talking to Steve. He's a two-hour special guest, Mr. Steve Castle. His website, stevecastle.com, belovedchurchillinois.com. Before we get back to Steve, I got an email from Kathy Smith. She's with the Loving Liberty Network, and Kathy Smith says, "Hello there. Thanks to your enthusiastic response," and she's writing to me and a bunch of people, "and some spiritual promptings, we've decided to go big for the Arise USA tour. This is the final word about our plans, and we are excited. Come join us this Monday, January 21st, for an unforgettable evening." Yeah. "As we welcome our friends at Arise USA, they're literally going to be doing an incredible 86 stop over 114 days national tour. Arise USA. They're going to make 86 stops, 114 days. I say that again because it's just incredible. Their goal, to promote constitutional counties across the great USA. They're going to resurrect faith, family, and freedom. So at 4 p.m., it'll be at Liberty Hall in far west Utah. We're hosting an open house. It's a meet and greet with our guest speakers. The bookstore at Liberty Hall will be open. We have refreshments until they run out, ladies and gentlemen. Then at about 5:45, we're going to move down to the Smith Family Park. That's just across from Smith and Edwards for the main stage event. It'll be at 6 p.m., folks. The Arise USA event begins at Smith Family Park, just north of Liberty Hall and across from Smith and Edwards, folks. There's plenty of parking, incredible playground. There'll be shade. There'll be cold water. Kathy finishes by saying this. Let's give our friends from Arise USA Resurrection Tour a huge welcome. Friends in Liberty, Kathy Smith. Anyway, all I'm telling you is great stuff going on. I will be there this Monday. The good Sheriff Richard Mack will be there. Robert David Steele, many others will be there. I'm telling you right now, Rick Dalton, the Vice President of the CSPOA, will be there. Anyway, enough of that, but I'm telling you, it's going to be killer. LovingLiberty.net for more details. Check it out. Be there. It's free. Would love to see you meet, greet, take photos, and you can hear the incredible lineup of speakers that the Arise USA Tour has just for you. All right, there's kind of a live promo of the event. Now we're talking to Steve Castle, folks, stevecastle.com. And so, Steve, tell me then, you were preaching, you were educating your people, you knew something ominous was coming, right?
Yes, sir. And so I didn't know exactly what the form would be, but it made total sense when this corona lie showed up, which actually was some of the videos that I did with some friends. I have lots of connections, and one of my ministerial connections, he has a YouTube channel that's got 50,000-60,000 followers on it. And so I came out right away, and he and I did a video called The Corona Lie. And that video literally, like within 48 hours, had somewhere close to 60,000-75,000 views, and it immediately got suppressed. And so not only was I the first pastor in the nation to sue the government over their First Amendment violations on the church, I was also probably one of the first people in the nation to literally be openly suppressed. They took the video down. We couldn't get the content. My friend who runs his YouTube channel literally went on there and looked at his algorithms and all of the statistics, and he found out. He said, "I think that video had hundreds of thousands of views before it was taken down." And so this was a concerted effort, and I started to pick up on all these things very very quickly early on. And so when they made it public that they were shutting down the whole world, and this is why, and blah, 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 I'm like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. First off, it's not even really a real disease. Secondly, it's made in China. How long can it last? And thirdly, the church, of all institutions that exist in this nation, the church is concretely protected by the First Amendment. And how foolish I was. So I stayed open. It just in direct violation. You know, I wasn't out there, you know, like picketing or carrying signs or telling people to be, you know, we weren't being jerks for Jesus or anything like that, but we were gathering. Jesus literally commanded his disciples to go into the pandemic of their day and bring healing. Leprosy was the pandemic of their day, and he actually commanded his disciples to go cleanse the leper. Literally instructed them to do this. And so I have a mandate from heaven that in a pandemic, I have got to be open to bring healing and to bring opportunity for people to connect with the Lord. And so I knew that I had a mandate from heaven for multiple reasons to be open. And I had a constitution, a bill of rights that protected my right to be open. And so I told our people, hey, you know, the world can do what the world's going to do, but we are under the head of the church. His name is Jesus Christ, and he told me that his house is supposed to be full, And so these doors are not going to be closed unless he says to close them. And obviously he's not going to say that. And so we stayed open. And for about 3-4 weeks, it was kind of okay. We ended up having a bunch of people in the community driving around, shooting videos, trying to villainize us and turn us into the super spreader, the evil killers and all that kind of stuff. Eventually it got so big on social media that our local government had to do something about it. And so after about 3 weeks, I got a cease and desist letter from the Stevenson County Health Department telling me that either shut down or outs. And so I called the state's attorney, who actually is a person that I know personally, and in conversation with him, I'm like, you know, so what's going on here? What happens if I defy this order and I stand on my First Amendment rights? And he sent me the documentation. It's 2 years in jail, tens of thousands of dollars in fines. And he basically said, hey, they're real serious about this. They're not playing. I said, so, okay. So I hung up with him, and then I started the very long process, over a week long process of trying to find a lawyer. And this is where I have to be careful in testifying to this, because I was incredibly disheartened. And I'm not going to name names, but I called every one of the big law firms, the $100 million law firms that are out there, you know, asking everybody for money because they are the Christian ones. They are protecting religious liberties. They are defending the church. They are defending pastors. They are out there. You know, I called every one of them and it was crickets. I couldn't even get a human being to call me back. And so finally, just out of, I don't know, kind of leading of the Holy Spirit, I guess, I called the Thomas More Society, which this isn't even their thing. You know, their thing is mostly protecting the sidewalk counselors from the Planned Parenthood. And I just happened to call them. A couple days later, I got a call from one of the attorneys at the Thomas More, which was one of the first human beings that I had ever talked to in any of these contexts to all these organizations. And he said, okay, real quick, give me the 5-minute version of what's going on and why you need a lawyer. And so about 6 minutes into me telling him, he basically interrupted me. He said, look, I told you got 5 minutes, now wrap it up. So I'm like, oh, great. So I wrapped it up. Hung up the phone. I'm like, that's another dead end, you know? And I'm like, Jesus, I need some help here, because I'm a guy that pastors a church. We're about 10 years old. Our church is about 10 years old. It's planted in a town that's got 3,000 people. And so and it's out here in the cornfields of Illinois. I don't have money. I don't have connections. I don't have lawyers. I don't have lots of people. I am literally like the least of the least of people that would be getting into a national fight against the federal government, and which obviously we know that that God tends to operate that way. And so I'm like, man, I just messed it up. This is the only lawyer that called me back. This stinks. And so thank God, about 2 days later, he called me back. He said, hey, all of the board members, the vice president actually asked me to call you back and have a very lengthy conversation to really find out what's going on, because they're thinking they might want to engage with this. So he did. He called me back and we talked for about an hour and a half. He literally, I can say that he literally is a friend of mine now. He is dear to my heart. And we engaged.
Hold
in
on.
This
is the guy that said you had 5 minutes, wrap it up, right?
Yep.
And let me explain what he really wanted to do from an attorney's point of view is he wanted to go check out your story and find out if this was real, because he was really interested, but he didn't want to give any false hope and he didn't want to play games. He just wanted to go, I got to get my ducks in a row before I even engage on this. Either it's dead or I'm going to really go to bat on this thing. And he wanted time to know, didn't he?
Yeah. And some of the other things too is, you know, and even some of the huge patriotic constitutionalists, you know, like I listened to some videos by Rick Green, you know, and he, I mean, few people are as patriotic and as constitutionally oriented as Rick Green. And he basically said in his video, like, hey, guys out there, you're screwed. Like, constitutionally, these governors have the right to do these emergency orders and basically take control of everybody's lives. Since
false doctrine, ladies and gentlemen, that's false. They are not lawmaking bodies.
It is.
They're separations of powers that I speak to all the time. That is the solution at the end of our fingertips. Even today, thank heavens to the founders that fought so hard to make that reality possible.
So since then, he's actually, you know, God bless, and I'm not trying to make Rick Green look bad, you know, like he was just using, you know, precedent that there were times in American history that there that they could shut down stuff based upon public emergencies and stuff like that. And so the general consensus across the nation was, even among the lawyers, even among the constitutional law firms, was they kind of have a right to do this, and we really don't want to fight it because we don't really want to be that law firm that fights for a guy to open up his church and then 10,000 billion people die. And so I got it. I understand, like, this was very, very tenuous for anybody to engage with. But they eventually said, you know what, the constitutional protections, the Bill of Rights is honestly more important than whatever negative fallout we can get from this. And so they decided to represent us. We filed a lawsuit against Governor Pritzker within, I think, a week. That's when everything got really fun. So now I'm being dragged across the national stage. I was on Fox and Friends. I was on CNN. I was on ABC. I was on CBS. I was on NBC. I was on everything. I did about 90 interviews. And for the most part, they all wanted to turn me into the villain.
Let's hang on for a quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
CBD, not easy, but Sons of Liberty CBD, highest quality CBD I've ever seen. CBD is not pot. It won't get you high. It's 100% legal. It's 100% American made. CBD is mainstream, and it works. For my listeners, sonsoflibertycbd.com is offering a discount of 15% off every product if you use the code WAR15 at checkout. Even better, you can combine this discount with your subscription discount for 25% off. Please support veteran-owned, service-disabled, small business, Sons of Liberty, CBD.com. Just say WAR15 to get 25% off.
A controversial election in Iran. Chief Justice Ibrahim Raisi elected president today. The outcome considered a foregone conclusion after election officials disqualify many other candidates. Raisi, sanctioned by the U.S. and EU for his human rights record, he'll be Iran's eighth president when he takes office in over a month. Russia wants to work with the U.S. in peace. That coming from Russian President Vladimir Putin this week following his meeting with President Biden. Peace may be hard, though, if cyber attacks continue. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says that issue will be a big part of U.S.-Russia relations going forward.
We set the measure at whether over the next 6 to 12 months attacks against our critical infrastructure actually decline coming out of Russia. And we believe that we've set the basis for that.
Sullivan also tells CBS News the Biden administration will use every tool available to defend U.S. interests from attacks. Georgia removing what it calls obsolete and outdated voter files from its registration rolls. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger announcing yesterday that over 100,000 names will be removed from the list of registered voters to ensure the integrity of our elections. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with Steve Castle, ladies and gentlemen. So he struggled to find an attorney. The attorney finally called him back. It took forever. But he got one who said, we're going to take this thing all the way to the bank, right?
Yes, sir. So we started our fight. It was long. It was arduous. I ended up losing half my church. I lost half my board. I lost half my staff because there was so much negative opinionation over what we were doing that people honestly just didn't know where to fall on this. And I was so secured by the Father and by the scriptures as to what the response was supposed to be from the authentic church, from the remnant church, that I was just willing to go into this and whatever it cost me. I would rather live, fight, and die and do the righteous thing than to live in relative peace and slavery for the rest of my life knowing I did the wrong thing. And so we took the fight nationally. We ended up with a couple of losses on the front end. We did not get our emergency injunction TRO. The federal judge, who was a Clinton appointee, he insulted us that we actually brought this case to his federal district. He compared us to, we had no more constitutional rights than a movie theater because we don't do anything better than somebody playing a movie. Had said some of the most terrible things. And these are documented. You can go pull up this case, Castle v. Pritzker, and you can literally see a federal judge comparing the importance, the essentiality of the church is equivalent to a movie theater. And so we had some losses, and I mean, we were really fine, and we were alone. It was just Steve Castle and the Thomas More Society against the monster of the COVID and the monster of the federal government. But eventually we got some breakthrough. We slowly started to chalk up some wins along the line. About 4 weeks after I filed my lawsuit, God bless these guys. But there was a bunch of other pastors and ministers around the nation that said, hey, wait a minute. Steve's right. We need to be fighting this. And so lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit started to get filed. And you probably know a little of the history of the bigger churches, you know, some of the ones in California, the Romanians out of Chicago. And so some of these bigger churches.
And I appreciate their efforts, but to some degree, they're Johnny comes lately, right?
Well, Jesus actually told a parable that a vineyard owner went out into the marketplace to get workers at 6 o'clock in the morning and picked up everybody, and then came back at noon and picked up everybody, and came back at 4 o'clock and picked up everybody. And the moral of the parable was that everybody got the same reward because eventually they did go to work. And so I'm fine with these guys that it took them a minute to get into the fight because, you know, when I was in the middle of this.
And I'm fine with it, too, because I'm glad they came to the party, Steve. But what I want to get across is, you know what? What takes a movement is one stands up and they say they're nuts. Two stands up and they say, okay, there's a couple of nuts. Three stand up and they go, oh, this is interesting. Four or five start to stand up, and pretty soon it becomes the, hey, the in thing to do. That's how they kind of start movements. And I bring that up not because I want to attack those who came late. I'm grateful they came. I concur. And not because I want to attack those who didn't even stand up. But what I really want to do is set the precedent to say, ladies and gentlemen, it's up to you and me. It's up to we, the people, to say, look, I want to obey the law, but I'm going to insist on the checks and balances set forth by our founding fathers in the supreme law. Okay, this isn't about arguing. This isn't about attacking. But it is about understanding. Next time this comes to a theater near you, pardon the pun, since they mocked us as a movie theater, nothing better than a movie theater. When it comes to a theater near you, I beg you to stand. Don't wait. Don't just pontificate. Don't just say, well, somebody else will do it. Don't just say, I'm right behind you, but we can't see you in the rearview mirror. Don't do that stuff. Double down and deliver, my fellow Americans, peacefully within the law for the sacred cause of liberty. And that's the reason that I spend time on that. I'm not attacking anybody, but I really want to set the record straight on what it's going to take for us to move to the next level in restoring our sacred country. Steve, that's really important for people to get.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely appropriate, you know, what you said. One of the things that I would say that I had going for me that maybe some other ministers don't, and I'm trying to filter through this, is that I really had pure, I had acuity from heaven as to what this was about. And I knew the scriptures, and I knew that what Jesus paid for, by his stripes, we are healed. And so I had no fear of any kind of a virus. I haven't been sick in 26 years. And so I actually believe in divine health. I actually believe when the Bible says by his stripes we're healed, that it actually means what it means. And so there was some things that I probably had going for me that not every minister had going for him. But, you know, one of the things, you know, Mark Twain said it this way. He said, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And the reason that Mark Twain made that statement was because he was looking at the American Revolution and he realized not all of the founding fathers are not all of the people that came behind the founding fathers had the same zeal and the same passion for these things, but eventually they got it. Eventually they got it. And then we had the American Revolution. And so I'm okay with being the tip of the spear, as long as other people are riding the spear as we pierce through the lies of the darkness. And so when we got, and that quote was so apropos to what we were going on, because I got thousands of messages from Christians and from pastors during the course of this fight that were villainizing me. And they were going to come and shoot me. and they were going to come to my house, and they told me what my address was, and they were going to shoot my family in front of me because I was an evil, wicked person. They were going to bomb my church. They were going to have snipers sit outside my church and kill people as they were coming and going. These were Christians, pastors. And I know that that's shocking for you to hear this, but this was the vitriol. This was the anger that was being stirred up by this narrative. And so I understand that some of these pastors, like, really honestly didn't know where to fall on this deal. And so that's why I give them a ton of grace. All I'm saying is, I don't care where you fell in March of 2020. Where do you fall now? Do you believe in the power, the authority, and the opportunity that the church brings? Do you believe that God actually wants to rule in the affairs of man? Do you believe, like Charles Finney said, that if our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, then the pulpit is responsible? That is why this COVID thing was about the church. This was never about the cabal. This was never about control. This was getting rid of the church, getting rid of the people of God so that the people of the enemy could have their way. And financially, in slavery, and everything they want to do, they have to get the church out of the way in order for them to be successful. This pandemic was about shutting down the church and about stealing an election so that they could get away with what they were doing. And I, for one, was going to say, hey, you can shut down some of those other churches, but you're not shutting this one down. I'm going to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to preach it even more so. Hebrews 10:25 says that.
You stood up, and I'm grateful that you did, Steve, but let's be very clear about this. For you to be able to, one, have the foresight and understanding of what was going down so early in the game, for you then to be able to have the guts to stand up and to reach out and to hunt down and find an attorney, for an attorney to dismiss you at first but then decide to come aboard, for you and the attorney to go, the judge against you and everything else, for this to happen really is a miracle that we can only really give credit to God Almighty for.
That's exactly right. George Washington, our first president, and General Washington, he would call it divine providence. He would call it the smile of providence. And I honestly agree. But one of the things that is absolutely important for any believer to understand is that the kingdom of God works by grace and faith. You know, it is by grace that we are saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8-9, so that we can accomplish we are the workmanship of God, so we can accomplish the works that God has given us. So it's by grace that you are saved. So grace is God's part. Grace is offering us things that we don't deserve. Grace is offering us divine empowerment. Grace is offering us supernatural ability. But faith is our part. That's how we connect with what God is trying to offer us. You know, he offers salvation to all men. He offers forgiveness to all men, but not all men receive that. And so in this particular situation, he offered me a grace to be a part of him doing what he was doing at this time in bringing this great awakening. I just had the fortuitousness to actually say, I receive it and put my faith towards it. And then he did his divine part.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve goes to court and wins to keep churches open across Illinois. A landmark case, to say the least. We're calling it divine providence, divine intervention. Final segment in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live Radio Talk Show.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Two hours special guest Steve Castle.com. Steve is the first pastor in the nation to file a federal lawsuit on First Amendment charges, rejecting the lockdowns, defending churches and Christians. He beat Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, into submission, opened up all churches in Illinois, ladies and gentlemen. Others came to the party and are standing on the same principles that Steve has, and good for them. We call it divine providence, divine intervention. Thanks be to Almighty God. Steve?
Well, wow, amen. So when we engaged in this, obviously, there was a bunch of folks that had to figure out where they stand. And there's still a ton of people there. There are people in your audience that are still trying to figure some things out, you know, exactly where their responses are, how they're supposed to move forward from this moment. And one of the things I'll tell you, as someone that's on the forefront of this fight as a tip of the spear, is that this war is already active. It's already engaged. Every person in this world is already thrust into a war. And now it's not time to figure out whether you're actually in it or not. Now is the time to actually engage. They are coming for your children. They are coming for the purity of their minds. They are coming for your grandchildren. They are coming for our liberties. They are trying to enslave humanity. They are trying to twist up all the knowledge. They're trying to bring propaganda and narratives. And this is not the time to decide where you fall on this deal. This is the time to take up righteous arms, the sword of the spirit. I'm not talking about, obviously, any kind of physical activity, but to take up the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, the truths that we've been given us, the eternal truths that have been laid out for 2,000 years, and for us to go into the darkness and to cut away the attacks of the enemy that are trying to come for the church, that are trying to come for our children. And this is something that is so disheartening to me. Even now, when we have this massive patriotic movement, when we have a bunch of people that are recognizing that they need to get back to God, never in our nation's history, we are almost 400 years old of people being on this continent, establishing this particular form of government. And 400 years, never in the entire history of this nation do we have church attendance at the level that it is today, which is under 50%. Less than 50% of America right now attends church. And here's the other thing too, they're okay with it. It's not like they're, you know, I need to get back or anything like that. These are actual responses from the American populace that says, hey, we're just not going to do it no more. And then we wonder why the darkness has seeped into our government, seeped into media, seeped into our schools, seeped into every way of thinking of man, is because we're not gathering together and hearing truths together in unity so that we know exactly how to respond when the enemy does this. One of the reasons that he was so successful was shutting down the believers, shutting down the church so that he can accomplish what he wants, is because the believers as a whole have been disunified and incongruent with the messages of heaven for a very long time, as displayed by this statistic that less than 50% of America is attending church. And I get it. It has become the cool thing. It is literally the coolest thing in the world to say, yeah, I'm a believer, but I don't go to church. And I understand that. But Jesus went to church. Even in the broken Judaism system that he was in the synagogue every day. He was in the temple every Sabbath. He was engaging in a system that he was trying to change. When we're trying to change something, that doesn't mean that you disengage. It actually means you engage more. Hebrews 10:25 says that do not forsake the assembling together. Do not forsake it. And then it goes on to say, as some have been doing. So they had the same problem in the first church. There were people that were laying out there. People like, I don't know if I want to do this, engage with this church thing. You know, I think the preacher just wants my money. You know, I don't like the color of the carpet. You know, that one person that sits at the other end of the pew, you know, they smell bad.
Betty sings too loud in the choir off key, for crying out loud. I'm not going.
That's right. This isn't a new thing. It's not like this is a brand new dynamic in American 2021 culture that people they have problems and issues with gathering together. You know, a lot of people, I can't tell you how many hundreds, maybe even thousands of people at this point, that when we shut down, when the world said lockdown, 6 foot distancing, wear a mask and stay at your house, I can't tell you how many people were relieved. Because they don't like people. They don't like to be in public. They don't like to engage with people. There was a ton of people that was like, yes, I can play video games for 12 hours a day and still get a check. And so to think that that it's easy, it's very normal in our human nature to gather together in a building, to worship together, to believe together, to deal with their thought processes together. That's a hard thing to do. But one of the things about the king of the kingdom never asks us to do easy things. He asks us to do the hard things. The easy things are why we got into the mess that we're in. And so it is time for us to go back in, to become the remnant church, to be that ecclesia that called out ones who gathered to legislate over what the world is supposed to be looking like, which is the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, to give Jesus the reward for the suffering that he paid on our behalf, which is...
Amen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Steve Castle. He's an elected official on the Republican Central Committee. BelovedChurchIllinois.com, SteveCastle.com, his websites. And he really mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, now is not the time to hesitate. I get it. Back in March 2020, you were kind of like, oh, man, this is how we better do something. We better protect ourselves. I get that momentary, I'm not sure what to do deal. But now, a year later, when we've exposed everything on the radio that they've been telling you is a flat-out dishonest narrative, it's a lie. Now you've got to stand up and say, hey, where do I sit? Where am I? For example, the governor of Illinois tried to shut down churches. Steve went to court and proved he had no authority. Churches got opened. This proves what happens when people stand, ladies and gentlemen. We need to go big. And we're going big for the Arise USA tour that's going on this Monday at Smith and Edwards Park. I guess it's Smith Park. It's Monday, June 21st, 4 p.m. at Liberty Hall. Then they move to Smith Family Park. Incredible speakers, incredible free event. Please be there. I will. Richard Mack will be there and many others. Now, by the way, I just want to mention that Donald Trump said in a statement through his Save America PAC that now the mainstream media has admitted that he was right about everything they lied about before the election. If that doesn't show you their dishonest narrative, I don't know what does. Listen to this headline because it illustrates the point even further. Scientist Alina Chan, representing many other scientists, said we dismissed the lab leak theory because Trump promoted it. Wow. it was scarier to be associated with Trump and to become a tool for racists, she went on to say. Now, this is where they're dishonest. They lied to you and said they were on the side of science. Now we've exposed that lie. So you ask me, Sam, what have you done since you became aware? There's an awakening for all of us. There's, when you grow up, there's a time to realize that you're responsible for your agency and your thoughts and your beliefs and your actions before God, right? The accountability idea. Then there's an awakening, I don't know if I should say politically, but morally as well, where you say, hey, can I carry out these lies or do I got to stand against it? When I discovered it all, I started nationally syndicated Liberty News Radio. I got involved with LovingLiberty.net for nationally syndicated radio. I went and sold a house and bought a radio station. Why? So I could learn to tell the truth. Now we're celebrating the 25th year anniversary of Liberty Roundtable Live. I've been at it for a long time. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that it's time for each one of us to get on our knees before God and find out what is our role in his kingdom. Where do I fit in? How do I take and do what God wants me to do to participate in the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth? And I've found my spot. Steve's found his. You, my fellow Americans, need to find yours. Speaking to that very topic, Chris, Utah, you're on the radio with Steve.
Steve, real quick, I commend you for your courage in the face of opposition. We are told that about 75% of America's population is Christian, and looking at some of the current events and how so-called Christians have responded to it lately, I kind of doubt that statistic. But if we could have more men like you, Steve, and obviously Sam, and hopefully myself, I can consider to be part of that group. We can restore Christianity. We can restore constitutional principles in this land. And Steve, if you're ever out here in Utah, please get a hold of Sam. I will take both you and Sam and your wives out to dinner. I would love to meet you, buddy. And thank you for your service to the kingdom.
Well, I'm
there you have it, Steve.
Chris,
you want to respond to Chris?
Yep. Yeah, I'm honored, Chris. Thank you so much. So here's the thing. We've been very good as a society and very good as Christians about complaining about the problem and whining about how terrible it is and not actually being part of the solution. So, Chris, due to the fact that you recognize the problem, my encouragement to you is to absolutely engage. Go to your church, find out how to engage your pastor or get to a church that has a pastor that will engage. And I promise you, if I'm ever in Utah, if Sam invites me out to Utah to preach or to teach and, you know, to do something with Sheriff Mack, I will call you first because I've heard Utah has real good steaks.
We're going to make it happen, ladies and gentlemen. He will come to Utah. We'll work on it. I've got all kinds of connections to make that happen. It'll be an incredible event. We'll keep you posted on that. Remember the Monday event on the 21st. You're going to go to that, Chris?
I'm going to try, Sam, and I'm going to try.
Take a break from work, buddy, and get there, man. All right, we're going to let Chris fly. I'm going to wrap up the show. Ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast will be available at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Let me tell you the cool last tidbit. So we got a call from Steve. This is how we know him. He wants to become part of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. When I say he, I don't mean just Steve. I mean his whole church. So we're now working on a church membership for CSPOA, where churches can become part of the CSPOA, standing peacefully with their law enforcement officials to keep peace officers and help them understand and keep their oaths of office. And Steve's church is going to join. He's first in a lot of things, suing the government to keep churches open. Now he's first to stand shoulder to shoulder for the sacred cause of keeping one's oath in government or elected service. And he's going to set the standard for that as well. And we're putting together a plan for churches to join. And Steve is helping us pilot that program. Steve, thank you so much for your time today. For all that you do, my friend, I'll be in touch soon.
It's an honor, Mr. Bushman, and God bless you and what you're doing for our nation.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there he is. I'm delighted and grateful to be standing shoulder to shoulder with patriots like Steve, like Richard Mack, like the people that run this radio network, LovingLiberty.net, Kathy Smith, the people behind the scenes you never get to hear from. They know who they are, and they're just as important as I am, ladies and gentlemen. Just because I am on the radio, I'm kind of the front man and get the credit. Their work is just as valuable. We're all part of the body of Christ, and thank the good Lord we are. I testify he lives, he loves us, and he invites us to repent and enjoy the fruits of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Liberty is sacred. Stand up for it, would you please? I'm Sam Bushman. God save the Republic of the United States of America.